Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked him them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." The father knew that was the hour when Jesus said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed, and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee.
Thanks, Paul. Let's pray together, church. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. And I thank you that we are all here today, united in one accord and in accordance with your timing and your purpose. We come together around your word and ask that you would breathe upon it. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Would you illuminate the word in a fresh and new way, that every heart and mind and soul would be open to hear from the King. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that there is much to extract from this word. And so we are ready, expecting, just as we are for 2023. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! Go for it. Come on, take a seat. But what an honor it is to share the word this morning with you guys. And a happy new year. I traveled to Melbourne, actually, and with my mother and my grandmother. So they're from North Queensland, and I'm a North Queenslander girl, represent state of origin, go the Maroons. Anyway, too early in the year? Yeah, I think so. yes, we traveled to Melbourne and had spent some time with some of our family that are down there. It was a beautiful time. And then as we were traveling back on our return flight, we were supposed to leave at 7:10. In the morning, because my family is the family, I don't know whether you have the family, of if the flight is at 9, we're at the airport at 5. That's actually probably late for us. But you know what I mean? Like, we're not going to miss the flight. And so I've been up since 3. I'm really excited to get on this flight to get home, because it's after you've done everything. So you're just ready to just get home and just rest and be in your own bed. But 6:35 was the time that we were supposed to board, right? And all I see is these scurrying ground crew, that are just running around. And I'm like, looked at mum and I was like, "We're not going to leave at 6. It's not going to happen. It's not happening." And so I'm there with my grandmother. She can't walk too far. We have a wheelchair to just help her out, those kinds of things. So we're trying to be like, let's pronto this up. Come to find out, the first officer, he's sick, and they put it down to COVID, bless. And I looked over at mum and I was like, this is what is not on your social media or your Instagram posts, of the Instagram moments that you have of your, "We travel to Paris," but neglecting to see the copious amounts of lines that you see at the airport waiting for you to come and to check in. I don't know if you've experienced that, or you know how, especially over the holiday break, your family is like, "From our family to yours." Neglecting the many photos that were taken for, "Sit here, stand here. Why do you not have the same blue?" No? No one? No one? Just let's keep it real here. So I wanted to check in, and I was like, maybe some of these families might have actually posted this on the internet. And they did. And I'm so grateful that they did, because it's these in-between moments that I was like, no one really sees. Everyone has the filtered view, or you might have that person that says, "I'm taking the shot, but chin down, right side, look this way." kind of moment. So I thought that we could look at them. Is that okay? And just share of maybe the moments that aren't usually seen. This first one here is quite interesting. I think it's a holiday that they're taking, and maybe they didn't. I feel like the people on the side, it was their idea to take the photo. But see how they're walking alongside and they're like, this is a good idea, take the photo, it's all good. Do you see the lady in the sunnies? She's like, I'm never coming with my family again to any holiday. It's not an option. Me and stingrays, I just don't think that that's a smart idea. It's I don't know much about animals, but I know it has a pointy end, and I don't want to be around that, and it's poisonous. And the next one, I think they were trying to do reruns of certain movie moments. So where is, I don't know, but I feel like the seagull wanted to be part of the experience at the same time. Or in addition, you know, the idea of let's walk along the beach and swing our arms with our kids. And then what happened? I don't know. And then preparing you guys for the famous family pictures, you know, those kinds of options where we're all going to wear the same color. Cut to, do you see the dad? I find him hilarious that he's like looking at his son like, this is my son. We've not seen this side of you. I don't know what to think here. See, do you post that on your Instagram or social media? Yeah, from my family to yours, example. And the last one here is they've all given up. They've all just given up on the times. You know what? I think the baby is the one who is at the moment that he's like, yeah, maybe we could. Maybe we could do another shot. But everybody's like, I'm done. I'm done. The title of my message today is, it's about the journey. It's about the in-between moments that are maybe not always Instagrammed or posted up on social media. And so let's read and dissect the Word of God today and see what the Lord has to say. So we're in John, and John is quite different in comparison to the other Gospels, and he utilizes signs to help us understand more attributes about Jesus. And this is the series that we're heading into for January as part of our prayer and fasting, which I encourage you guys to be involved in. So we're going to break down each particular sign. There's a total of 7. And so we pick it up here in chapter 4. Now, before this has happened, Jesus meets the woman at the well. So he's traveling the whole time. He's about the journey. He's on the journey. And so he's going to Galilee, but he crosses through into Samaria. And Jesus is not restricted by ethnicity barriers or by social cues. He meets the woman where she's at the well. And this woman, actually, I'm sure if some of you might know, she has a reputation in her town. But nevertheless, the gospel is shared through Jesus. And sometimes you see the disciples, they're bless them, but sometimes a little bit slow to it. They're like, who fed him? He talks about this water never running dry. Which water did they give him? Those kinds of things. But I shout out to the disciples, because sometimes I read about them and I'm like, man, you didn't get it. But in my own life, I'm like, I'm really the disciple. There's just moments that I just don't get where Jesus is going. And so then we see him here traveling to Cana. And in the Word, we pick up in verse 46 here. So he being Jesus, came again to Cana in Galilee. Now you're going to have to help me out here. Jesus is where? Cana, right? Jesus is in Cana. Let's capture that. And where he had made the water into wine. That's one of the first miracles that is mentioned in John. And we'll discuss that later on in the series. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. Jesus is in Cana, and the official is where? Capernaum, right? Okay, let's clasp that. Official is just a big term. It's also known as a nobleman. He is someone that is a servant of the king. He understands the power and authority that a king has. And at the time, the political climate, I should say, is Roman Empire is just ruling over everything. and it was a thriving Roman Empire heritage. But this area in Galilee was also where Jesus's ministry was also thriving as well. So I put forward to you that the official may have known to some extent of Jesus's ministry. Why? Because we see here in verse 47, when this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Jesus has a reputation. The woman at the well had a reputation, but Jesus has a reputation that precedes him so much that the official who just hears about him says, I'm going to just leave where I am and travel to where Jesus is to ask him to save and heal my son. Now, there's the word ask there, and in the Greek, it means to make a request, an earnest prayer request. Such requesting receives special consideration because of the special relationship involved. Jesus being about relationship, coming closer to him. Isn't it interesting how an official or nobleman, he understands Roman Empire and climate and kingship, also understands that no political authority at the time could have the power or authority to heal his son. He runs to the king. The lengths the official would go to for his son to experience a miracle. I know there are only four, these are only a few verses, but there's so much in it. And I know I'm not a parent yet, but I can imagine potentially for the parents in here, what are the lengths that you would go to see your son or to see your daughter delivered or healed? For those that are younger than us, let me break it down for you this. The official understood the assignment. Thank you for laughing and understanding where I'm coming from. Because I practiced that just so that the younger generation would connect with it. No, I'm kidding. He understood the assignment. He understood who to call upon and how to call upon. So at the time, if you didn't know, there was no Uber. There was no Didi. That kind of situation, you couldn't compare which is cheaper than the other. There was either walking or on horseback. And so I wanted to check in because see what it says. He asked Jesus to come down. And if we see on the map that's about to come through, there's Capernaum and Cana. I tried to make it a little bit more clearer on the one that's on this side. You're right. Yes, I'm good with left and right. Cana, Capernaum. The official is where? Capernaum. Jesus is in Cana, but he says, come down. Is that a problem? If he meets Jesus in Cana, I'm not a geographical expert, please don't, but that's going up, right? That's like northeast, if I'm doing that right. So I was like, Lord, why would you say come down? Beautiful thing about the word, I encourage you to delve deeper into it. To come down means to descend from the higher land. Come and descend. Hey, come and see about my boy. Come and see my situation from your heavenly perspective. The boldness and courage to do so, he understands to some degree how to ask the Lord to see about him. It's an indication of the official's awareness that within his plea, the power and authority of Jesus holds to meet his need at the time. To seek God in total desperation and to ask and cry out. He's not asking Jesus, please take off 10% of my Boxing Day sales so I can grab that clothing option. Or could you please walk with me in the park so that I can adhere to my New Year's resolution? There's no shade if you want to be healthier this year. My prayer is that I be healthier this year as well. But he's not asking something minuscule. He's in desperate need and plea for a miracle to happen. May I ask, have you ever been in that situation where you've cried out to God, I need you to move in this situation because I don't know what to do? Can I also ask, how did God respond? Let's see how Jesus responds to the official in this moment. Verse 48, so Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Hold up. I'm asking you, I'm coming all this way. And then you say, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. When I first read this, I was like, duh. In a total reverence to the Lord, like, that's why I'm coming to you. Interesting of the official's response. Then he said to him, sir, which is an understanding of the Lord's position. It's Lord, come down before my child dies. Isn't that interesting? Can I be real? I haven't always responded well when I felt Jesus hasn't answered my prayer. I've sometimes acted like a two-year-old and like trying to dial the number again in prayer and just been like, did you hear what I said? Is it just me or maybe you have a friend? Just, yeah, don't look at no one. Just look straight this way. It's all good. Just look straight. Oh, it's all good. Just me and you can know that situation. But that's sometimes then our approach to God, a level of entitlement or pride, right? But because it took a lot of effort for me to admit that I need your help. And then he could have been like, I'm coming 26, because to Capernaum, but Capernaum to Cana is 26 kilometers. That's roughly, I had to look it up. It's like roughly 4 hours for a person who's healthy. So for me, it'd probably take 10 hours. Through or horseback and ride, right? So I'm traveling 4 hours and then doing all this stuff. And what are you doing? That's why I'm coming to you. But he asks again the second time. And all the difference is he adds, sir. He just says, you as master, you as Lord, I'm asking you to come in and see about my boy. Or have you in your asking your plea to God and that he's not answered you as yet, have thought, oh my gosh, is my prayer not good enough? Am I not connected enough with you? Did I dial the wrong number? And for those that are younger generation, it's like looking at Messenger and, you know, you text somebody and then they just have seen, you know, it's just the seen bit and you're just like, I know you read this. So, and I know you have time because you posted on your socials. So let's be real. You've got time to like respond to me. Verse 50 says, Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. The man believed. When I first read this part of the passage, I thought that the official didn't have faith in Jesus up until this point. But in meditation on the word and through the Holy Spirit, I feel that he highlighted he had enough faith to a certain degree. He had enough faith to go, for one. He had enough faith to go to the right source to be positioned to encounter Jesus. And he had enough faith to understand how to ask him, the posture to come before the king. I put forward to you that where the official's faith meets a hurdle is his perspective on how the miracle is to take place. In him asking Jesus twice, he says, come and descend down, but come and see about my boy, because there's a limited space of time. He lacks the faith, I would say, to believe that Jesus doesn't need to see the boy to heal the boy. He doesn't need to see the situation to know how to deal with the situation. Can I then say to you that he doesn't need to go down to your Capernaum to know your situation, that he hears you and has experienced it all on the cross? Jesus, as we read here, he is not governed by time or geographical distance. And today I have come to tell you, learning from the official's journey, that Jesus is not so far that he cannot come down and see about your plea or request. that he was and is our substitution on the cross. And he understands every suffering, both mentally, physically, and emotionally. He understands your need. Whether you've experienced shame from past mistakes or family trauma, it's okay. It's because the Lord's here, so it's probably like they don't want to hear it. So I'll just yell at some point in time. You might have experienced past mistakes, bullying, loneliness, anxiousness, or depression. I speak to it in Jesus' name to declare that he knows your need and the miracle required, and he has heard you asking. Either the first or the fifth time, God knows. Even if you have asked, when will this time pass? When will I see the miracle? See, our responsibility is to exercise our faith in Jesus. The official was exercising his faith and encountering Jesus about his need. And then his faith was stretched. I'll say it again. The official was exercising his faith to the degree that he had. He then encountered Jesus, and then his faith was stretched all the more. Sometimes we're not always willing to have our faith stretched in the waiting for the miracle or the prayer to be answered. Been there. And if I'm honest, I'm still there about certain things. In my prayer, in preparing for this message, there are two types of people that I want to speak to today. Those that don't know that they need a miracle to see the greatness of God. And it is your choice now to take a step of faith and potentially accept what is, which is Jesus being known as your Lord and Savior. The second, those that have been praying and feel like they've been believing for a very long time, a very, very long time. They've asked twice and nothing. How much more faith can be stretched? And along the journey, it's taken a toll on your perspective of faith. Could it be that along the way and whilst waiting, we fixated our gaze on the miracle to the miracle? Could it be that we have, in the journey of growing in our faith, fixated our eyes on the miracle and not necessarily the miracle worker? Neglecting at times the purpose of the miracle, this is an opportunity for a beautiful time of repentance, to come before him in reverence and understand the position and dominion that Jesus has and surrender it again. 51, and as he was going down, his servant met him and told him his son was recovering. He asked them, when he began to get better, said to him, yesterday at the sixth hour, left him. The father, verse 53, the father knew, and that knew is gnosko knew. He knew intimately. That was the hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And he himself believed and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did. Can I put forward to you in this passage, it's about the miracle, but it's not about the miracle. We don't know this baby's name. We don't know whether his name was Ben or Jerry. We don't know how old the baby is, the son. We don't know a lot of things, but I think that that's intentional. It was about the journey of faith of the official to believe and be stretched to believe for the miracle to come into place. See, he needed to be repositioned. His posture needed to change to then see gnosko, the intimacy of the Father. Can you imagine if the miracle happened, but the journey didn't? How could that be? How could he have known? How could have Jesus known that there was a need? So this was the faith response here. That there was action taken to go. There was an understanding of the positioning in which to encounter Jesus. I cannot do it in my own strength. I only need Jesus. The posture in which that I come before him is in full surrender that you are Lord. you need to take control. I surrender my emotions. I surrender my thoughts regarding this. My soul, it's yours. And while I'm waiting for you to do a beautiful work, I want to share about what you've done so far. Because if the miracle didn't happen, on the journey, I should say, didn't happen, then those at the household wouldn't have known. He needed to leave first in order to then be shared of the experience of the miracle work of God. To act, to understand God's position that he has over your life, and to come and posture in full surrender and along the way share the gospel. Share of the testimony of, I've not seen it yet, but I'm still believing. God's response, and Jesus' response, I should say, is that he was available, and it's something that I think that is necessary to know today. He is still available. He is still wanting to move and perform miracles. That he is still listening. Hey! He is still listening. I say to you who is doubting whether he understands your plea and understands your need. He listens and is hearing of them and understands how to solve it. The miracle is in the process, but will you continue to be stretched in your faith to believe that he can do what he needs to do? Will you let God be God? And then he shares, he impacts people. Jesus is about us as moving together, sharing of testimony together to encourage one another that God is still in the business of miracles. God is still moving, and to exercise our faith together. So I come back to the two types of people, those that don't yet know Jesus or don't yet know that they need to see a miracle from him, and that those that have been praying for a while. Can I begin with those that have been praying for a while? I don't know your need, but he does. And I'm on assignment today to say, in love, how are you postured before him? Are you ready to see him in a fresh and new way? Because maybe there is still much to see of him before it will come to pass. And there's much to still share of the testimony of where you were to where you are now, to continue to believe for what he's going to do. Growing up in church, I've when the word miracle comes, you know, I've grown up in quite Pentecostal churches, so we've been in quite old school. It's all about the Spirit, you know what I mean? Let me know if you've experienced that. But it's like, healings! Come to the revival, you know, all these like big, extravagant, and they're so necessary because God is so big that he can heal and he can deliver. But sometimes the miracle is that you're in 2023, you're here, that you have breath in your lungs. That was mercy given to you this morning to say, make use of the day and give all glory to me and share it with somebody, because you are positioned here for a reason. Outside of these doors is Brisbane. They need to know of the miracle work that God is doing in your life. There are spheres and influences that he has given us that then propel us forward to share of what God is doing in our lives. Don't neglect that you're not a miracle. You are. And for those that have maybe never experienced Jesus, or like, yeah, you might have been the official in the beginning. He heard about Jesus, but hasn't really seen and known Jesus yet. I want to let you know, this is not, you're not here by chance. It's not luck that you would just form random molecules together and be here and then just be listening to this chocolate, curly-haired person being all like, oh my gosh. I put forward to you, it's Jesus. It's God moving in your life in a divine order to let you know that you were created in His image. Don't let anyone tell you in this world that you were created nothing less. You were created and formed in the image of God, and you have a purpose for your life. It says in the word that, "For I know the plans for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and to give you a hope, a future, and a purpose." But because sin has entered the world, sin is, people say sin is just the bad things, but it's sin is literally just missing the mark. And so anything that misses or helps you to miss the mark from what you are purposed to do, what you're originally designed to do, comes in and has entered into our world. And sometimes we engage in it. So our God is both loving, but He's also just. The wages of sin is death. The punishment or the consequence of engaging in it is death. So unless you're willing to pay that, that's the result. But Jesus is willing to pay it. God came down and came into time and space and into physical form. And Jesus, being fully God and fully human, came and experienced life from birth to death, living a perfect life so that you would have a perfect and we would have a perfect example. And He has come now to restore us into our original design. That's a miracle. And the miracle is now your choice to accept that or to keep living how you want to live. I'm cool either way. But I want to encourage you that if that is your choice to take that today, we can pray alongside you. We're a family here and want to walk this out together, because newsflash, you cannot do it by yourself. We need people alongside us. Because as God uses people. So I wanted to bring us to this moment before we have the discussion question. I sense God is speaking in the room in relation to those two types of people. And if we could just have a moment before God to really ask, where am I at? How am I postured? And do I still reverence you to want to know the more of who you are? And if this is the first time that you've heard about Jesus, am I willing to accept the miracle? Because the journey of faith points to Jesus. It's not about the healing. We praise God for the healing, but it's about Jesus. So I'm going to give you a minute and I'll be quiet. And then I'm going to ask you at the end, those two types of two groups, and you can just begin to raise your hand if it relates to either or. And then some of our life group leaders, just giving you an FYI, we're going to pray alongside you in respect of it. But let's take time now to just to focus on the Lord and hear from Him. Holy Spirit, we thank You that You're here. You've been speaking, and so now we still ourselves before You to hear from You, Lord God. Would You speak to us today? In Jesus' name. So just as we're still here in God's presence, feel free to continue to keep your eyes focused and fixed on Him. I'm just going to ask a question, and if you're willing to respond, just raise your hand. It's just so you and me can know. You and me and God. Thank You, Lord. So if you've never heard about Jesus, or you have heard and somehow you are wanting to know Him more intimately, this is a beautiful opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So after the count of three, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand and I'll lead you in a prayer. And then eventually I'd love for one of our life group leaders to come alongside you and pray. Life group leaders, if God is still talking to you, that's okay. I just feel also to just sense in the spirit that for you young ones here, I know you might have grown up in church, but there's a difference in knowing church and knowing God. It is your decision to make. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and hopefully if we could all just pray this together. Jesus, I acknowledge you as my Lord and Savior. I thank you, Jesus, that you want to know me, that you know me, and that I can now know you more. Forgive me of my sins, past, present, and future. And would you come into my heart, Jesus? I acknowledge you as Lord and Savior. You call the shots. Help me to follow. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I know we're in this quiet moment, but the heavens are cheering for you and the decision that you made. Thank you, Lord. The second group, I wanted to come alongside us that if you've been praying for a miracle for a while and might have just had faith to a certain degree but need to be stretched even all the more, and while I was speaking, God was speaking to you. I'm going to count to three, and if that's you and you need someone to come alongside and pray for you, that's what we're in the business to do. As I begin to pray for you, Father, I thank you that you see their cry, that you've never leave them nor forsaken them, God. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your work is at hand in their lives. I ask, Lord God, for whatever need it is that you would meet it. And I pray, Lord God, that it says in your word, be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and petition, present our request. Thank you, Lord, that we have done so. And that in doing that, it says further, and the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds. I pray for your peace, nothing lacking and nothing missing would guide our hearts this day. In Jesus' name, help us to lean on you while we wait. Just as those are being prayed for, I'm going to leave the question and discussion here just for a couple of minutes. The question is, what are you believing for? And how are you responding in faith in your action, aware of who Jesus is and your posture before him? Feel free to take a couple of minutes to flesh that out, talk to someone, and then pray alongside them. And then we'll begin to respond and worship this morning. Feel free to do that now.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.